His Master's Voice, created by Mark Tavenagh and written by Steve Punt, starring Robert Hardy, Tony Gardner, Amelia Bullmore and Michael Maloney.
So, Keith, what do you think? Should I invest in China?
I don't know, Lord Milan.
Of course you don't. You probably think I'm talking about buying a porcelain plate with a kitten on it from the back of the Radio Times. I'm talking about new media, Keith. I'm thinking of buying 10% of China's leading dating website.
Really? What's that called?
Well, literally translated, it's called Our Views on the Glorious Future of Our Nation Coincide, So Let Us Get Married.com. But it loses something in English.
You could say that, yes, yes. I don't wish to be rude, Lord Milan, but was there a reason you wanted to see me?
Yes, Keith, and I've already mentioned it.
All you've done so far this morning is talk about buying a South American TV company, a Russian newspaper and a Chinese website.
Exactly. Globalisation, Keith. It's a lot of syllables for a small magazine, but I think you can handle it.
You did say, didn't you, that I had a free hand as editor?
And you do. All I'm doing is pointing you gently in the right direction.
And if I don't follow?
Then you're fired. But that's not going to happen. Because I know that you realise I'm right. You see, globalisation is a subject that we only hear about from the left. Whining and moaning about Starbucks this and McDonald's that. Now, I want to hear about the positive side.
I see.
The jobs it creates, the low prices it brings, the shareholder value that pays your pension. I want three cheers for McDonald's, Keith. I want us to sing the praises of Pepsi and burgers. Let's talk about it over lunch.
Where?
At the Savoy. I recommend Rack of Lamb and the 85 Corton.
85 Corton, you lucky swine. And that stuff costs hundreds of pounds a bottle.
Yes, yes. It was just the thing to accompany a discussion about the merits of the Happy Meal and the 99p cheeseburger.
Nothing wrong with the 99p cheeseburger, especially if you've just had a few bottles of Corton. Mop it up nicely. So what are we up to this week?
Globalisation.
A bit heavy, isn't it?
It's a complex economic issue, yes, and it's our job to help our readers understand it.
Yes. Well, only one problem there.
Which is?
That means we've got to understand it first.
What don't you understand?
Any of it.
Have you read any Naomi Klein?
Is she the one who throws mobile phones at people?
That's Naomi Campbell. I think this is going to be more Anna's territory than yours.
Well, be fair, Keith, old chap. Tricky assignment to cover globalisation from a louche perspective.
You have a point. It doesn't lend itself naturally to a humorous style.
No. Not unless I go and work undercover in a burger bar or something. You know, flipping the old patties. Any fries with that? That sort of thing. Why are you looking at me like that?
Charles, that is an excellent idea. You can go in... You can go in disguise and report on working conditions and training methods.
Oh, come off it. Firstly, I'm too old.
Nonsense, you have the air of youth.
And secondly, I've got a degree in classical studies from Oxford.
Well, there you are. You can tell them all how the Romans would have done it.
The Romans... The Romans didn't have fast food places. They sat around at banquets stuffing themselves and drinking until they were sick.
Which will come in very handy on the Friday evening shift. Come on, Charles. Where's your journalistic spirit? The louche undercover. I like it.
Ah, that was Milan's secretary on the phone. He wondered if you could meet him at the penthouse this evening.
The penthouse? What for? I've got this charity due tonight.
For more non-interference and editorial matters, I expect.
Yes, I dare say he wants to see me to give me more guidance on the lack of guidance I'll be getting. Well, he can't keep me long. I've got to get to the charity auction by 8.
Oh, yes. If you get the chance, do bid for the lunch with Jean-Christophe Novelli.
I don't think we can run to lunch with Novelli. In fact, on our budget, we'll be lucky to get the Levenses with Christopher Biggins. Still... It's all for charity.
Now, I'll be very quick because I have tickets to the opera this evening.
Do you like opera?
Opera, Keith, is just Italian soap opera with an orchestra. But my lady friend likes it, and I shall take the opportunity to think about my Chinese investments for 3 hours. Now, listen, this globalization special...
It's all in hand. Anna's planning a detailed look at the international finance system.
That's just what I'm afraid of. You see, Keith, I think it's important that Blue Touch covers the big issues, but also that it's a bit more accessible.
Accessible. Is that code for down market?
No. No, which is code for yes.
So you want globalization for dummies?
Not dummies, Tories. Work it out.
Lord Milan, are you asking us to talk down to our readers?
Keith, if I want to read The Economist, I'll buy The Economist. All I'm saying is it wouldn't hurt to spread the word a little wider. That means meeting the public halfway.
The last time an executive said those words to me, it was the prelude to a request to include a celebrity angle.
Really? Strange coincidence.
Oh, for crying out. Blue Touch is one of the only places left not infested with celebrity nonsense. It's an intellectual safe haven for people who don't want to read about Paris Flaming Hilton or Jew Bloody Law.
No one is asking you to interview Paris Hilton about the economics of globalisation.
That's a pity. I'm sure she'd be very enlightening on the subject.
But Richard Branson, for example, Anita Roddick, Donald Trump, they are the acceptable face of globalisation. Well, maybe not Branson's face, but as a businessman.
Lord Milan, I cannot believe you want your magazine to interview a condom-flogging balloonist whose main contribution to Western culture is Mike Oldfield's tubular bells.
And trains that lean over. Keith, you do believe in the free market?
Of course.
Now, so do I. And in that market, research says that celebrities sell magazines. Think about it. Now, if you'll excuse me, Covent Garden awaits.
And I need to get to the Grosvenor House for this charity auction.
Charity?
Yes.
How quaint.
What time does the auction start?
After dinner.
And who's doing it?
Oh, one of those rent-a-crowd celebrities will turn up to anything for a big enough check.
God, it's not Blair, is it?
No. It's either the My Drugs Hell TV comedian or the My Sex Parlour Shame radio presenter. Can't remember which. Do you want some wine?
Is it an 85 quart on?
No.
Then my palate will not accept it. Now, what are we bidding for?
Lunch with Jean-Christophe Novelli.
Oh, not you as well. Katrina was asking about that.
I'm afraid you'll have to get past me first.
Sorry, we weren't introduced.
I'm Beverly Manfred.
Yes, another fan of the handsome Gallic super chef, eh? Very pleased to... Oh, Beverly Manfred! As in the publisher.
You might have known me as Beverly Waters, widow of the now deceased publisher and now very much on a learning curve in the industry, yes.
Oh, well, delighted. And a very successful learning curve it is. You've done a great job with Executive Dog Walker.
Well, so many people today have such busy lives, they don't know how to fit their exercise regime with that of their pet. It was a gap in the market, and we were just lucky to spot it.
Not luck, I'm sure. You seem to have added to your ex-husband's stable very shrewdly.
Yes, I've got my eye on Modern Recycler as well, but a political magazine, that's different. It must be so exciting, having your finger on the pulse of the nation.
Yes, it must. We must try it sometime.
Modest. I was saying earlier to Anna here what a tremendous success you've been as editor.
Really? Well, that must have gone down a storm.
It was Lord Milan's choice. He values commercial appeal over sound political judgment.
Yes, well, it seems to have worked. But I wouldn't get too comfortable, Keith. Milan has a habit of hiring and firing.
Yes, he can be forthright, brusque.
He's like Alan Sugar without the charm. Or the wit. Or the diplomacy.
Still, he's doing good things for Blue Touch.
Oh, do you think so?
Yes. Turning into a forum for debate and discussion.
Really? From where I sit, he seems to be using it as his own personal newsletter, a sort of round robin to the select band of opinion formers who read it.
Nonsense. I have control as editor.
Do you? What's the current issue about?
Globalisation.
And whose idea was that?
Milan's.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Only in the sense that he said it out loud. I've been thinking it.
And what approach are you taking?
The positive side.
And who suggested that?
Milan did.
No, he didn't. Yes, he did. But I was there too. We discussed it.
So you're doing a subject suggested by your proprietor and taking an angle suggested by your proprietor?
Yes. But I said no to the celebrity interviews.
What celebrity interviews?
The ones Milan asked for.
Celebrity interviews in a serious political magazine?
Yes, yes. I put my foot down very firmly there, especially about Richard Branson.
You said no?
Well, no, I said maybe. But in a very obviously unconvinced and rebellious way.
Keith.
I just didn't say no.
Why not?
He bought me over £1,000 worth of wine at lunchtime.
Oh, well, that's all right then. As long as you were corrupted into compromising your editorial integrity, that's fine.
Anna, considering what you and he were up to until a month ago, I think that's a bit rich.
Don't bring that up in public.
Well, don't accuse me of corruption.
Anna, Keith, really? It's sad to hear two such fine young journalists talk in this way. Milan has woven his dark spell over you.
You talk about him as if he was Lord Voldemort.
Yes, whereas in fact he's far worse, because he's real. And he's got you dancing on his string, Keith, publishing a magazine that's becoming the voice of the tax-exiled billionaire in the street. What Blue Touch needs is an owner whose view of Britain isn't the one from the aeroplane window as he heads home to Bermuda.
Right.
Someone more in touch with the average, aspiring, everyday Conservative voter. The ones who actually pay tax and use the health service.
Both grudgingly.
So what are you suggesting?
Well, I'd love to add a political magazine to my portfolio. I mean, Executive Dog Walker makes a lot of money, but there's more to publishing than profit.
Yes, that's just what Lord Milan was saying to me earlier.
Pardon?
It was a joke.
Celebrity interviews, my foot. You do your globalisation issue exactly as you planned, Keith. And let me talk to my people about whether we might put a little informal bid together. But not a word to Milan. Understand?
Of course. I wouldn't dream of it.
Good. Oh, they're starting the auction. Elevenses with Christopher Biggins. Okay, £5 over here. Blue Touch?
Oh, Katrina, light of my life, help me!
Oh, what is the problem, Giles, darling?
What is a chicken hot whizzer?
I don't know. Where are you?
I'm by the chip fryers, just round the corner from the milkshake machine, and don't call me Giles. My name is Darren.
Darren?
Yes, everyone here is called Darren. Except Wayne. And Hortensia.
Hortensia?
Yes, she's head patty flipper. Crew member of the month. And you know the really strange thing is she's got a degree in classical studies from Cambridge.
Well, I'm sure there are many, many graduates in classical studies working in that line, Darren. Now, what's the problem?
The problem is I've got a frightfully irate customer asking, nay, demanding that I supply him with a chicken hot whizzer with extra cheese and hold the mayo. Well, what on earth do I do? And how can I hold it if I'm also having to hold the mayo as well? Oh, dear.
Well, who was that shouting?
That was my customer. He seems very concerned about the whereabouts of his whizzer.
Can't you ask the manager?
No, he's not here. He's out front directing the floor mopping. No, help me, help!
Oh, dear.
Was that our fearless undercover reporter?
Yes, he's more under the counter at the moment. He's in some sort of chicken-related bother, but I can't quite understand what.
Good. That should make an interesting column. Inadequate training, low wages, antisocial hours.
All things that anyone working here would be well familiar with.
Well, let's just see. You never know, maybe we might soon be under new management.
You don't seriously want that woman to take over, do you? She's just an enthusiastic amateur.
But she appreciates serious journalism.
Keith, no one appreciates serious journalism except other journalists. You know that.
Suits me. It would be nice to have an owner who didn't judge everything by the profit margin, that's all I'm saying.
Keith, you can't conspire behind Milan's back. I'm sure he has a pool full of piranhas for people like that.
You see? First Voldemort, now Blofeld. These comparisons have got to be telling us something.
Anyway, there you go, Keith. My piece. Globalization and its well-contented, an in-depth analysis of why multinational culture is here to stay.
Well, excellent, Anna. Can't wait to see Milan's reaction.
What on God's earth do you call this?
I call this an in-depth look at the complex economic issue of globalization.
Do you know what I call it?
I hate to think.
I call it a big steaming pile of rhinoceros pew.
Is that an insult?
Of course it is.
Only I thought it might be some sort of organic insult alternative.
Keith, you have ignored my explicit instructions as to the content of this issue. This is a very detailed and serious attempt to explain the complexities of globalization. I wanted a positive view on the upside of having the whole planet look the same. Talking of which, where's the word from the Louche?
He hasn't finished his final copy yet. He's still in the clinic.
What clinic?
He suffered a minor injury as a result of someone trying to insert a chicken hot whizzer where no chicken hot whizzer was ever intended to go.
Keith, I don't know what your game is, but let me tell you something. This won't sell.
You think so?
Yes, I do. But you've done a great job in the past, so I'm going to suspend judgment.
Until when?
Until I fire you. Which will probably be the day after this hits the newsagents.
So you're telling me my column's not in this week?
Sorry, Giles, but your copy just didn't arrive until too late.
But I was trapped in A&E with a chicken whizzer where the sun didn't shine.
I know, and I'm sorry, but your sacrifice won't be in vain. It may be that we have a new owner in the offing, someone who appreciates the seriousness and purpose of the magazine.
Oh, God, that sounds bad.
Have you heard of Beverly Manfred?
A widow of thing... The owner of... what's it?
Exactly. Your standards of research are as impeccable as ever.
Oh, I'm not researching anything ever again. Not after the whizzer.
She's a very well-regarded publisher.
So I've heard. And a renowned flirt, too. Well known for being able to twist men round her little finger.
No, that's nonsense. That's definitely 100% not true at all.
The lady doth protest too much, methinks. Is she the one offering to buy?
She might be.
Two words, Keith. Little finger.
You're missing the point. I don't think Milan will want to sell, but I published the most serious and heavy issue possible, just to, you know, test his commitment. You see, I think that if he doesn't make big enough profits, he'll sell.
Yes, I think you may be right.
So, let's see how he reacts to an issue that's deliberately uncommercial.
Without me in it, obviously, it's lost much of its commercial appeal already.
Exactly, Giles. And if it bothers him, then fine. We've got a buyer ready and willing to take over. In fact, I'm off to see her. Obviously, this is strictly off the record.
Can you give her a message from me?
Go on, what is it?
My little finger's always available.
Use it to rewrite your copy.
Tough going this week's issue, Anna.
It was. Lord Milan wanted it leavened with some more accessible stuff, but Keith said no.
Well, accessible's a good watchword, you know, especially with Brown at number 10. The country's being run by a man whose idea of fun is recalculating the public sector borrowing requirement. The more we can look like the party in touch with real people, the better.
Exactly. That's why it's a little worrying that Keith is talking to Beverly Manfred.
The publisher? She's got no experience of politics. In fact, I don't even know what her politics are.
Mind you, her husband did leave her 200 million quid.
So if she's not one of us, she's either barking or a communist. But all the same, Lord Milan has given Blue Touch a solid base, real clout.
Well, exactly, and he deserves a bit more loyalty from his editors. Do you know any of Milan's people, John?
Bump into them occasionally.
You might just drop them an unsourced hint.
You still want that job, don't you?
Let's put it this way, John. If I was in politics, I'd say I have absolutely no plans to become editor of Blue Touch.
Received and understood.
So how are you, Beverly?
Oh, I've had a wonderful afternoon. I've just bought Naturist Ecologist magazine.
Don't know it.
Oh, it's Britain's leading publication for people who like to make compost in the nude. But I've seen your globalisation issue.
Did it meet with your approval?
I loved it. I thought the graph showing percentage of GDP in relation to benefits was particularly enlightening.
It's so rare to hear a proprietor say that. I say rare, I mean unheard of.
You see, to be honest, it's not important to me whether the magazine makes big profits.
I just want it to have integrity.
Integrity, yes, yes. So what about circulation?
Well, circulation is good, but it's not the be-all and the end-all. Not if it compromises the,
Integrity.
That's it. Proper, rigorous journalism is what I'm after. To me, that's what's important, and I think that's what my husband would have wanted.
Good for him.
He was very much a believer in not compromising.
Very noble.
So it's fitting, I think, that his legacy has given me the freedom to support worthy causes.
Well, we're not a charity, Beverly.
No, no, but neither should you be subject to the tyranny of public taste. You should be a little fortress of intellect.
What, guarded by Giles?
A little bastion of braininess, holding out against the siege of nonsense.
Yeah, if I could skirt round the castle-based metaphor for just a moment, what exactly does that mean in practice?
It means, Keith, that you are free to leave in as many long words as you like. You are free to talk about growth theory and repayment schedules and competitive devaluations. And if no one buys it, you don't need to worry. I shall support you anyway. So what do you say?
Well, I'll have to get back to you on that. I've got a slight problem with my little finger.
Remember, Keith, the public want quality. I'd stake my reputation on that. Oh, that was circulation. Sales are down 18%. We've lost nearly a fifth of our readers. 26 people have posted on the message board to say they thought this week's edition was dull, long-winded and tedious.
Ah, but don't forget, there are also 15 people saying that it wasn't the same without the louche.
Actually, 12 of those were me. And the other three were my mother. I had to teach her how to use the computer specially.
Right. So essentially, nobody liked it at all.
Just you wait till next week. When people get a chance to read about my adventures in Quarter Pounder country, they won't be able to put it down.
I'm sure you're right, Giles. But first of all, I've got to go and face Milan. And I have a feeling I know what his first words are going to be.
Keith, I'm not the one to say I told you so.
Spot on.
Pardon?
Nothing.
But I told you so. I told you, I predicted, I prognosticated, I gazed into my crystal ball, and I said that the future looked pear-shaped. You've spoiled your sales graph, Keith. Up and up for 3 weeks, and now look, drooping down 18% in a week. That's poor, Keith. Very poor.
Well, if you judge everything by sales, yes.
As opposed to what, Keith? Choice of typeface? Number of impressively long words? Of course I judge things by sales.
Lord Milan, I am very proud of that issue.
Are you?
Yes. It was a shame to lose Giles, but the waiting time in an NHS casualty unit isn't conducive to hitting deadlines.
I told you this edition would be a disaster, but I didn't stop you printing it, did I? Do you know why I didn't stop you?
Because you trust me?
Wrong. Because I was testing you, Keith. I wanted to see what kind of person you really were. Do you really want Blue Touch to be a tiny little elitist pamphlet read only by geeks?
That's not a nice way to talk about the Shadow Chancellor, but no, I suppose.
You'd like a copy in every household in the country, wouldn't you?
Be nice, yes.
You'd like that graph to be heading up and up and up every week as your perceptions and insights reach more and more people, wouldn't you?
Well, ideally, yes.
So that's what kind of person you are. But you said you were testing me, Keith. What about exactly?
Oh, well, goodness me, is that the time?
Don't worry, you see, a little bird has already told me that you were testing me.
What?
Come in, Anna.
Anna?
Sorry, Keith. I don't know how it got out. Honestly.
Did I make a mistake, Keith? Did I appoint the wrong person as editor? What do you think, Anna? We haven't got all night. The answer is no, because I don't make mistakes. What did you make of this rival offer, Keith? Be honest.
Beverly Manfred would be a patron, not an owner. She'd run the magazine as a hobby, and we can't sing the praises of market forces if we're protected from them ourselves.
Keith, give me one good reason why I shouldn't appoint Enna as editor right now.
Well...
And don't say lack of loyalty. That doesn't count.
here?
I wanted to see all my new friends. Hi, Darren!
They didn't resent it when they learned your true identity,
no,
then?
No, they all think they're going to be celebrities. They all want a copy of the mag.
Mm, well, that's circulation back up by four, then. What are these?
Onion rings, 79p as a side dish. Sorry, old habits.
Mm. They're quite nice, aren't they?
Not at all bad. Obviously, they're a vegetable, so they don't sell many. But they are deep-fried.
So, what time was Keith supposed to ring?
Said he'd ring at 8, said he'd have some big news about the future of Blue Touch. And I'm afraid you owe me £7.
What?
I don't get my staff discount anymore.
So I'm waiting, Keith. Give me one good reason why I should keep you on as editor.
Well, you lost money on this week's issue, didn't you?
Thanks to your decision to ignore my advice, I took a small hit, yes?
I, on the other hand, learned at the charity auction that Beverly Manfred was planning a bid for Modern Recycler magazine.
Isn't David Cameron on the front cover this month for a feature called Me and My Wormery?
Yes, yes, he is. It's a very zeitgeisty publication.
Not the word I'd use.
So, anyway, the next morning, I bought shares in the publisher. Price shot up when Manfred's bid was announced, sold this afternoon, made a 23% profit in 48 hours.
Keith, that's insider trading, deceiving your employer and unscrupulous private profiteering. Congratulations! We're going to make a proper capitalist of you yet.
Yes. Well done, Keith. Didn't know you had it in you.
Neither did I, actually. It was rather fun.
You see, I gambled that you and I are closer than you'd like to admit.
You don't hang around Hogwarts, do you?
Have some champagne, both of you.
What's the toast?
To Blue Touch. May God bless her and all who increase sales in her.
To Blue Touch.
Drink up, drink up. There's plenty to get through.
Oh, there won't be for long. I said I'd phone Giles.
Who? I might have to find another crate.
You've been listening to His Master's Voice, created by Mark Taverner and written by Steve Punt, with Robert Hardy, Tony Gardner, Amelia Bullmore, Michael Maloney, Rachel Atkins, Saskia Wickham and Stephen Critchlow. The producer was Dawn Ellis. That was